All right. Welcome, everybody. This is Mary Craig Ministries and Craig House Christian Fellowship, our community outreach. We are in our series, How to Survive in the Kingdom of God. Today's message is The Law of Cause and Effect, Part 1. I am Dr. Mary Craig. This is a live teleservice, October 10, 2021. And let's pray. Father God, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose we are and whom we serve. And we thank you, Lord, for the body and blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ on our behalf. We thank you, Lord God, that nothing happens by chance. You are the sovereign first cause of all things. And Lord, we pray that we will understand how this law operates. We thank you, God, that the Father sent the Son, Jesus Christ, to save a people. And we thank you, Lord, that Jesus was sent by the Father to save. We thank you for Jesus' life of radical obedience, perfect personal perpetual obedience, and obedience even to death on the cross, that he was crucified, dead, and died, and buried. And the third day he rose again and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Almighty. We thank you, God, that Jesus Christ is King of kings and Lord of lords, ruler over the kings of this earth. And, Lord, that Jesus Christ is interceding. And we pray, Lord, intercede for the needs of your people. We pray that right now. And Lord, we thank you for the Holy Spirit. And we ask now that the Holy Spirit will come as the Spirit of truth to guide us into the truth of your word. Lord, that your Holy Spirit will come as the Spirit of wisdom and revelation to reveal Jesus Christ to us and to grant us wisdom, knowing that this law of cause and effect is universal. And so, God, we do ask for an understanding of it, that you would open the eyes of our minds to comprehend and perceive what's going on, and also open the eyes of our hearts to receive what you have for us. Lord, open our eyes to your word, to see the law of cause and effect in operation in your word. And for this, we give you the praise and we give you the thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so if we've entered the kingdom of God, then how do we live and survive there? We're talking about the laws of the kingdom of God, which when we know them and when we operate according to their truth, God will bless us. The laws are operating both to the negative, as in the law of sin and death, like the wages of sin is death, and also to the positive, that is life in Christ Jesus. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. This is also true with the law of cause and effect. So how do we live under God's reign, R-E-I-G-N, and rule? Today we're going to start talking about the law of cause and effect. Actions have consequences. These are the times when we have if, dot, 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 then, or whenever, dot, 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 then, dot, 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 or because, dot, 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 this, dot, dot, dot. Okay. Now, the Wikipedia definition of causality is, causality is influence by which one event, process, state, or object contributes to the production of another event, process, state, or object, where the cause is partly responsible for the effect, and the effect is partly dependent on the cause. That's Wikipedia. Now, we're just going to generally talk here. The cause is the why. And so that's why we say, because this and that. The cause is the why. Well, why did you do that? Why did you do that? Well, it's not a really good question to ask people why. The overall answer to the why is because we're sinners. Why did you do that? Why? What in the world? That's not you. That's not like you, blah, blah. So we say because. The cause is the why. The effect is the what. The effect is an event that happens because of a cause. Nothing in the universe happened by chance. For every effect, there is a cause preceding. And for every cause, there is an effect. There are absolutely no exceptions to this law, which is considered universal and immutable, unchangeable. Now, we might say there is one exception, because God, our Creator, is the sovereign first cause over all His creation. The sovereign first cause. In other words, He's not the result of anything that preceded. He's the first cause. In the beginning, God. We owe Him obedience on the basis of the creator-creature relationship alone. Human beings were created in the image of God. In the covenant of creation, also known as the covenant of works, also known as the covenant of Adam or with Adam, Adam had only one rule or command, namely, not to eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. When Adam knowingly and willingly, rejected the wisdom of God and ate of the fruit, he received the effect of that action. In the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Adam plunged humanity into the estate of sin and misery. The wages of sin is death, spiritual and physical. No one in the first Adam humanity has the ability to render to God the obedience, worship, service, loyalty, or anything else required under this creation, covenant of creation. We are totally unable, crooked at the core. God initiated salvation. God makes crooked places straight. Salvation is a gift paid for by the work of Jesus Christ, by Him on the merit of His obedience unto death. Certain ones enter into the kingdom of God. The righteousness of Christ is laid to their account, and the sin and lawlessness and iniquity of the person chosen in Christ from before the foundation of the world are laid upon Jesus by imputation, the life exchange of the covenant of grace. The covenant we call the new covenant is a blood covenant, the blood of Jesus Christ. It cannot be broken. It is legally and judicially sound. When we believed, when we repented of our former way of life and our thinking, we believed Jesus. We believed in Jesus. Now, under God's reign and rule, we find conditions and laws governing life. God has worked within. He has wrought in us eternal life. We found that one of the principles is, as within, God has worked within, so without. So what God had been working in, we are working out. Work it out. Okay. So justification, what we call justification, is a one-time act. Those who trust in Jesus Christ alone and have with a hearty reliance upon Christ alone, repented of their sins, are forgiven. Jesus died, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. We are reconciled with God as Father. Now it is time to work out our salvation and what is in us will become manifest as it works out. What is in our hearts will be shown forth in our thoughts, the way our minds work, our actions, our words, like that. As within, so without. What's in the heart comes out. And it's time now to work out our salvation. As we saw in James, faith without works is dead. This is sanctification. James is talking about sanctification. It is becoming all that God has declared us to be. It is the work of the Holy Spirit who has empowered us. Before being born of the Spirit, we had no choice, no inclination, no power to follow after right living, but now we do. If we have been saved, we can't say, oh, well, you know, it's not in me. It's not in you, but the power is there. The power of the Holy Spirit is there. Now we have a choice. Before Jesus died and we received salvation, we had no choice. We had no ability to please God. And now, when we are what we call saved, we do have a choice. The Holy Spirit comes and lives within us and empowers us. And we have the ability. So now we can either resist the Holy Spirit and reject or repel or, well, I'm not going to do that, or argue with God over whatever. But we have a choice. So we had no choice. Now we have a choice. We don't have to sin. We can follow after right living. Before, we had no inclination, no power to follow after right living, but now we do. When we are glorified in what's called the estate of glorification, there will be no sin. We will not be able to sin. There will be no sin. It won't be there anymore. So that's how it goes. If indeed we have received Jesus Christ, we've been given the power to be the child of God that God desires us to be. We have a new heart given to us by God, a heart inclined to keep his commandments, which in 2 John 6 is love. We have the mind of Christ and the Father's will in the Word of God. So cause and effect, God is the sovereign cause of all things. All things are upheld by the word of his power, by his decrees. What God says goes. This is providence. You can do a side study on providence if you want. The providence of God. It is rooted in God's perfect wisdom, goodness, and sovereign right as lawgiver, king, and judge. God is the sovereign cause of all things. We as believers in Christ must learn to live with a sovereign, a very sovereign God who takes pleasure in his son, Jesus Christ, a God who takes pleasure in all he does and who does all he pleases. He does what pleases him. That's why we're exhorted in the scripture, find out what pleases the Lord. Find it out. Find out. It's a lot easier to find it out today, thanks to the Google search. Humans are responsible agents. So God is the sovereign first cause, and humans are responsible agents. We are free moral agents who are to respond to God. For example, we love because he first loved us. We are the secondary cause. We can be a secondary cause, given with salvation the ability to respond to God in ways that honor him, ways that demonstrate our loyalty and allegiance to the divine suzerain, the covenant Lord. We call it responsibility. Responsibility is the ability to respond in a God-honoring way. The ability to respond. The kingdom of God seems upside down to the teachings of the world, and indeed it pretty much is upside down to the teachings of the world. Satan knows the laws that govern the spiritual realm, and he seeks to deceive, or if not deceive, to contain God's children and discourage them from pressing through to victory. Remember now, the temporal follows the spiritual, and the physical explains the spiritual. What happens in the spiritual realm is a cause that has an effect in the temporal physical realm. The New Testament tells us that the Old Testament is given as the example of spiritual truth. The physical explains the spiritual. So we're going to look at some examples from Scripture of the law of cause and effect in motion, so to speak. Even back in Genesis chapter 3, verses 14 and 17, "And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field." Okay, so God is the sovereign cause. This was the plan all along. The covenant of redemption, which established the plan of God in like eternity past or whatever, before anything was created. There's what we call is the covenant of redemption among the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And they're all in agreement for the plan. I do this, you do that, you do that. We do this, whatever. It works. It's all worked out. And the serpent here is a secondary cause. "And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. And then to Adam he said, because you have hearkened unto the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, saying, cursed is the ground for your sake in sorrow." And the rest of it, da, da, da. You can read in Genesis chapter 3. Okay, so there we see that God is the sovereign cause of all things, but he also works through secondary causes. Humans are the responsible agents, and God held the serpent responsible as well. We can see that. So because of Adam's sin, there was an effect to that sin, a consequence. Cause and effect relationship is what we're talking about. Genesis 18, verses 20 and 21. "And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down." And it goes on. So the actions that occurred had an effect. God would come down, and he was going to judge. And there's this interchange back and forth between Abraham and God, and ending up with, "Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" It's one of the questions we have to get settled in our minds and in our hearts. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? So the actions that occurred had an effect. There was a cause and effect relationship with humans being the responsible agents before God, and also a secondary cause with an effect. Genesis 22:18. And in your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. This is God speaking to Abraham. So Abraham's obedience was a cause that had an effect. That effect was a blessing, was really a blessing from God. All the nations through Abraham, all the nations of the earth will be blessed because Abraham obeyed God's voice. Genesis 39:23, the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, meaning Joseph, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. The Lord made it to prosper. So Joseph became a successful man because God was with him. And because God was with him, that was why Joseph became a successful man. And also we have there, that effect was really a blessing. And we have another cause that led to an effect. Leviticus 26:43, the land also shall be left of them, and she'll enjoy her Sabbath while she lies desolate without them. And they shall accept of the punishment of their iniquity, because, even because they despise my judgments, and because their soul abhorred my statutes. And we could even consider all of Leviticus 26 and looking for examples of cause and effect. In fact, it explains a lot if you look at Leviticus 26, even back up to Leviticus 25 and 26, to understand this, and it gets worse as it goes on. They didn't repent, and so then, this happened then. Well, because you did this now, then, blah, blah. Okay. Numbers 3:13. Because all the firstborn are mine. This is the Lord talking. Because all the firstborn are mine, for on the day that I smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I hallowed unto me all the firstborn in Israel, both man and beast, or animal, mine they shall be. I am the Lord. So here again is a cause and effect. Deuteronomy 7:7-8. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you because you are more in number than any people. That wasn't the reason. That wasn't the why. For you are the fewest of all people, but because the Lord loves you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, has the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondage from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Why did Israel become, as it says, Israel, my glory? Okay, the cause was rooted in God, who set his love upon Israel, and because he would keep the oath sworn to their fathers. The effect was that the Lord brought them out with a mighty hand and redeemed them out of the house of bondage. See, when God loves us, he just sets his love upon a person. We don't know why. It's not because we're the best this or that, or we're the worst, or whatever. we don't know really the why. The reason is just because the Lord loves you. And he is a covenant-keeping God. He is a covenant-keeping God. And we were chosen even before the foundation of the world, before anything was created. So did somebody not mean for you to be born? Too bad. You were born. My husband and I both had that in common for different reasons. God wanted us born, and God wanted us to be saved. God set his love on us. We don't know why, but it happened. And I believe every believer can say, because I know people get all ruffled when I say it, but if you don't think the Holy Spirit loves me, just test it. Because the Holy Spirit loves me. And he has shown me this, shown me that he loves me many, many times, especially now at this point in my life. The Holy Spirit will fight for the lives of his children. And the Holy Spirit and the Lord God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, love those chosen to be loved. On our part, it's, we fight that a lot of times. Let the Lord love you and obey him. Line up, align with his heart, mind, and will, align with the Word of God. Okay, Deuteronomy 15, verse 10. You shall surely give him relief, and your heart shall not be grieved when you give unto him, because that for this thing the Lord your God shall bless you and all your works and in all that you put your hand unto. And you can read on for the blessing, Deuteronomy chapter 15. That was verse 10. Deuteronomy 16, verse 15. Keep a feast, because the Lord your God shall bless you and all your increase and in all the works of your hands. Therefore, you shall surely rejoice. You can almost see some conditions here to these things. As we obey God's command, God will respond with the effect. When we do not obey, God will also respond with the effect of that, is obedience. Obedience brings blessing. Disobedience brings the effect of whatever God chooses. The mercy of forgiveness, correction, punishment, exile, etc. The judge of all the earth shall do right. When our kids were growing up, I said, you know, God will bless, and you guys really belong to the Lord. Disobedience brings pain. We didn't really have, they kind of got to understand this. And it wasn't that we were, actually, once they were through the two-year-olds, we didn't have to do anything because they had already been trained. They had been trained up. And part of that training was they knew that they, you know, needed to fear the Lord. We all did in the family. Every one of us in the family. It was a family thing. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Okay, so here's 1 Samuel 12. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you his people. So, why doesn't God forsake his people? For his great name's sake, it pleased the Lord to make you his people. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he has done for you. But if you shall still do wickedly, you shall be consumed, both you and your king. 1 Samuel 12:22-25. Okay, we're actually going to stop off here, and we're going to pick up some more examples next time. And so in closing here, I just want us all to remember that God is a sovereign cause, the sovereign first cause, and we can be a secondary cause. We also have our part. We are responsible agents. It's a relationship of covenant, and it is establishing the covenant and the kingdom of God, which is to be preached to all creation. God has promises, many of which have conditions to fulfill those promises. But we are to believe the promise. We have to believe the promise. So God makes promises. I call them the I will statements. And we need to believe that when God says he will, he means it. That's not true of people, especially lately. There's a lot of lying going on, it seems, and deceiving. But it's true of God. When God says he will, he means it. He will. And we don't always know the timing. If you look in the Word, some things happened, didn't happen to the people who sinned or whatever in their generation. It happened later on, but God even gives a reason in the Word for why that happened. He's very long-suffering, and he waits for the people to return to him and repent. Repent and return. But if they continue to do wickedly, right, they will be consumed. I mean, in other words, judgment will come. It is through judgment that deliverance comes, but they're going to go through it. All right. So we are to believe the promise, the promises of God. And remember, first we believe, then we see. That's how faith works. First we believe. And Abraham, if you, Romans 4 goes into this very well, about Abraham's wife as an example and why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. It was through the promise. All right. And so to that, we'll close up. We'll say amen to all that. And let's pray. I'm going to pray scripture here that I was really led to bring back to the Lord. So, Father God, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And, Lord, as we go through these next weeks, God willing, we pray that you will show us the ins and outs, as it were, of this law of cause and effect, not as the world applies it, but as we see it in your word. We see it in your word from beginning to end. And so, Lord, help us as we go through this. And, Lord, I want to lift up these scriptures to you and have you, Lord, apply them as you please. John 1:12-14. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And from Amos 6:3-7. Woe to you who put far off the day of doom, who cause the seat of violence to come near, who lie on beds of ivory, stretch out on your couches, eat lambs from the flock and calves from the midst of the stall, who sing idly to the sound of stringed instruments and invent for yourselves musical instruments like David, who drink wine from bowls and anoint yourselves with the best ointments, but are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph. Therefore they shall now go captive as the first of the captives, and those who recline at banquets shall be removed. Amos 6, verses 3 through 7. That's from the Berean translation. And from Proverbs 1, verses 20 to 32, turn at my rebuke, surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. Because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded. Because you disdained all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes, like a storm, and your destruction comes like a whirlwind. When distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel and despised my every rebuke. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their own way, and be filled to the full with their own fancies. For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. From Proverbs 1, 20 to 32. And so, Father God, I release that word now into the spirit realm for you to apply as you please, to whom and wherever. And Lord, we ask you and come to you, Lord. We humble ourselves before you and ask you to grant us the grace to resist the devil and submit to you, that the enemies of Christ might flee. And Lord God, that we would humble ourselves. For you resist the proud and give grace to the humble. So, Lord, help us to be humble before you, to see who you are, and as the sovereign first cause of everything. And, Lord, that we are the responsible agents, free moral agents. And though we may not understand completely how it all works, we know what the word says. And we know we understand it enough to know that to you, our loyalty and obedience to you and your word is very important. And so, Lord, help us in that. Help us to do that. And help us to do that without rebuttal and without resentment and, without arguing with you back and forth and all without resistance and a lot of other R words. And so, Lord, we thank you and we praise you and we delight in you. We thank you that we are yours. We thank you for this love that you have for us that we don't really comprehend and may never comprehend fully until we see you face to face. We thank you that there is a hope within us that no one can take away because it comes from you. And we can take comfort in the scriptures and we can find hope. You are our hope, the blessed hope. And we can have confidence when we come before you, the throne of grace, which we do, Lord. We come boldly before the throne of grace to obtain mercy and to find grace and favor in a timely way. And Lord God, we need it all the time, all the time. You are the God who makes crooked places straight. Help us, O God. Help us to be pleasing to you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.